Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast with your hosts, Bill Algy, Dennis Talbot, and Alan Tate. We are three guys who have one thing in common, a love of rock and roll. Our goal is to talk about all things rock. We hope you find this show intriguing, funny, and occasionally highly opinionated. Enjoy. Hey, folks, this is episode number 215. I had to look on my thing because I'm too done to remember, but I got the 200 part right. So anyway, this week we're talking with our friends Dave Bush and Chuck Gee from the band 8-Ball.
He said Bush.
Bush.
You said Gee.
Well, it's funny because, you know, Chuck and I first became friends, I called him Chuck G for a long time before he finally said it's pronounced Gee.
Oh, is it? I thought it was
Gee. Oh, I'd have called him Gee, too.
It is Gee. It is Gee. I was calling him Gee.
I would have called him G, yeah. So
yeah, but you can call me it's G. Chuck G. You Mr. can call G. me Ray, Mr. G. Yeah.
Mr. G.
They call me Mr. G. All right. Anyway, before we get to that, our usual skullduggery and stupidity.
No news whatsoever. No news. Well, nothing's going on.
Oh, well, Foreigner canceled their. There is news. News. A little bit of news here and there.
I got news. I got news. Shut the fuck up. My Doobie Brothers concert got postponed until September 11th, 2021.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
So I get to see the Doobies with Mr. McDonald.
Well, good.
Next year.
No, everything that was at, everything, all the concerts that were at Lincoln Amphitheater have been delayed a year also. Brian May did have a heart attack, though. I did see that this week.
I saw that. He also shredded his butt cheeks in a gardening.
Yeah.
That's bizarre gardening.
He's had a bad couple of weeks.
I know. Those bizarre gardening accidents will cause all kinds of trouble. But, yeah, well, good.
I kind of want to know, but I don't want to know what garden tool he was using.
Fell on a carrot. I don't know.
That garden tool.
I think he shredded his hamstring, right? So it was. It might have been a lifting thing or something.
I don't know.
Who knows? All right, but that's about the only thing. Other than that, nobody's playing. Nobody's doing anything.
More news. Journey.
Y'all
remember in the 80s when Randy Jackson,
back in.
He's back in. Yeah.
The dog is back in.
They got a new drummer, but I don't know who it was. I saw that today.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah,
I did. That's kind of cool. What's funny is I saw Mitch LaFon had posted on Facebook that Randy Jackson, that Neil Sean had announced that Randy was back in the band.
Right.
And somebody in the comments questioned that and said that it was bullshit. So I went and I got on Neil's Twitter and I looked at the actual tweet. And I'm like, here's the link, motherfucker. Yeah.
Yeah. I saw it from Journey's tweet. Journey said,
Neil Sean put it out. And it's been out for a few days, actually, though. It came out.
Yeah.
They did a thing. They did like one of those COVID, they did Don't Stop Believing
in
different places and actually had. Dog and
speaking of those Zoom concerts and stuff like that,
right.
Bill Elam and I can tell you from experience, those people are not playing live.
No.
They are pre-recorded.
They recorded it, and made videos.
Yeah. So
Kevin Cronin, when he had Tommy Shaw on, they were trying to sing a song together. And there was like a 4-second delay, and he goes, this isn't going to work. This is terrible.
You know, give those guys props for trying.
They did try it. Yeah.
I tried to watch one last night,
if they're in the same room, they can do it. It's just,
but they couldn't get linked up.
Oh,
so it was a country thing. And it was a guy named Mark Wills from back in the 90s, early 2000s or whatever. And he was having Steve Warner on, who's somebody I really like, great guitar player, and
I remember him.
Actually learned from Chet Atkins, so cool. You know, pretty good guitar player.
I'd say.
And he had another guy on, so Mark had the other guy on and that worked fine, but when he went to get Steve Warner on, you could see Steve, he talked, there was no audio, and then there was audio, we cut it in and out, and so they said, oh, shut your system down and bring it back up. So he shut his system down and has it. It didn't come back up.
At least he tried.
So I watched a couple things. I haven't watched a lot. I watched a little bit of our Talisman buddies.
I watched that.
I watched a little bit of that. I didn't get to watch a lot of it. I watched a little bit of it because I was gone. I thought I'd be home by in time, but I didn't get to see it. And then I watched the Aaron Lee again. I watched him again on Sunday night. I think that was when I watched it. He's the bass player for YNT. I thought he did a good job. You know, it is what it is. But I think, you know, at least he's putting it out there and trying. So I enjoyed it. So
entertainment's entertainment right now.
Yeah. And right now, you know, I'll think about anything. So,
well, you know, and all of those guys, you know, they tour, that's how they make their money.
Yeah. And they all have like a thing up there to
the tip
PayPal or
I get it.
Venmo or something like that. You know,
totally if they get it. Yeah.
Throw them some cash. So
exactly.
We should do that. Maybe we should throw up a Venmo thing or PayPal and see if anybody.
Well, the thing is people will want refunds.
Yeah, no shit. I thought you were going to do something.
Refunds. That would be bad.
Nothing.
They just want us to pay them to watch. Maybe. Hey, maybe that's how some people got their viewers up so much on Facebook. I don't know.
Maybe.
That reminds me. I saw a meme the other day. See a little boy at his school, and he's sitting at his desk crying, and the caption says, when it's career day and your mom brings in a webcam and a laptop.
Oh, there you go. Yep.
Best one I've seen this week was showed a picture of this bed, and it had like 6 foot and another 6 foot and like 4 steps, and said, this is a picture of your mom. Like that's
so we should probably get serious here. I think you guys probably have some new albums.
Yes.
Actually, I have some used albums, but yeah, yes, they're new to me.
Well, I have one new one. I have one new one.
Well, then, Dennis, you go first.
Well, I mean, go ahead, Bill.
All right. So, funny story. I ordered 2 records, and then I ordered 3 records, but I ordered one of the first ones I ordered twice. Brilliant.
For you.
But actually it turns out that it was pretty cool. So we'll get there. So I have been kind of just eyeballing stuff and working. I bought these off of I bought one of them off an auction, and I bought the other 3 off of a somebody just had a list on the sell. I do the sell, whatever it's called, sell vinyl,
Facebook
whatever.
Page.
Yeah. So one of those, and I found it. Anyway, so off the sell page, I bought Billion Dollar Babies.
Good. I got 2 copies.
The cover's a little beat up. The vinyl's in great shape.
How is the? Did it have the inserts?
It does not have the dollar.
Okay. Or the cards that are when you open it up.
No, yeah. It has the only thing it has in it is just the.
Okay.
I got one of everything those. Everything else I'm I got sure one was used for whatever
got
purposes.
Got everything in it.
No, it won't go back in there. Maybe there is something else in here. I just missed it. Nope. Just the way it works. And I also got Alice Cooper Goes to Hell.
I got that too. It's a good one.
So getting that, kind of trying to get that a little bit taken care of. And the other thing I ordered from them was Rat, Dancing Undercover, which this is the second one I got, because the first one I got I ordered from the other thing. I ordered off the auction. However, as I'm putting this in Discogs, I noticed that the wax, the numbers inside the wax, are different. And I'm like, well, what's going on? Well, this one, the other one I have is a promo copy.
Right.
That's well, they're very different. Like the labels are different. The pressings are different. They don't sound different.
Right.
This one's got the promo copy thing and it's got the hype sticker, which is cool, but it's on the record. I mean, it's on the cover. It's not on the vinyl.
Not on the plastic.
So I offered one of these to Dennis, but I think I'm going to keep them both because they're different and they're really pretty cool. They're in phenomenal shape.
I say he's an Indian giver, but that's okay.
Indian giver.
That's okay.
But they're both in really good shape, so that's really good.
I'm not going to lose any sleep.
That's really one I got twice, so I don't know if you want to count that or not.
Sure.
And then the thing I got the best of that I'm happiest with is finally a...
Oh, there you go.
A VG++ copy. If not NM copy of Ted Nugent.
First record.
And it is this, the cover is in great shape and the vinyl is ridiculous.
Cool.
So I'm very happy about that.
Is that his first
album?
Yes. This is 1975. So I think there was one before this, but this is the self-titled record.
I thought that was the first one.
Is it the first one? It might be the first one.
What's it got on it?
It's got Stranglehold.
Oh, cool.
I think that.
But I thought there was one before that that I saw, but I could be wrong.
Well, anyway, it would be the Amboy Dukes. I mean, he's
– yeah.
That's probably –
so maybe that was what I was looking at.
Yeah, that's
– anyway, this has got – you know, actually, you know why I bought this? One of the reasons I bought this, to be honest with you, is it has Hey Baby on there from Derek St. Holmes.
Of course.
Which, by the way, that song is the only one that Ted Nugent did not write on this whole record.
Yeah, that is the first album of the Ted series.
Okay. Anyway,
Ted Nugent, Free For All, and Cat Scratch Fever.
Yeah, it's in phenomenal shape, and I can't wait. I haven't played it yet, but I can't wait to play it.
I've got that. It's really good.
So those are what I got. I'm happy with that.
Awesome. Yeah, I did. So real quick, I'm going to run through these. I got, since we had our friends Kansas on here the other day, I'm rounding out some of my collection. I got Monolith, which is a good one. It's got People of the South Wind. It's a great song. The whole album's really good. I got Vinyl Confessions, which Play the Game Tonight. That's a real good song. And like that. I got our friend Brian. He had bought me that from one of the auctions as Kingdom Comes first album. So I haven't got to listen to this yet, but I'm wanting to listen to it.
It sounds a little like Led Zeppelin.
I was just getting ready to say, is the whole album sound like Led Zeppelin or just that well. One song?
I didn't put these in order from what I bought, but got Pat Benatar, got Seven the Hard Way. Only really good song here is Invincible from Billy, the Legend of Billie Jean. But it's just rounding out my collection. I've only got a couple more to go and I'll have all of her albums. But I got that for $4. Can't be
cool.
Actually, no, I take that back. Yeah, it was $4. Got one that I've had in my hands a million times and finally picked it up. And I'm so glad I did because it is fucking awesome. And it's Edgar Winter Groups. They only come out at night.
I've seen about a million of those.
But it's great. And I got it's this VG Plus or even better. And it's the 73 original Terre Haute Press. $8.
Does that have Frankenstein on it?
Frankenstein and okay. Free Ride. I mean, it's just really, really, really good.
So that's pretty much Edgar Winter's greatest hits.
Yeah,
you got to remember, you had Ronnie Montrose in here. You had Rick Derringer. He was the one.
Dan Hartman's on there, isn't he?
Yeah, Dan Hartman. Free Ride. And then Chuck Ruff. But also, like I said, that was produced by Rick Derringer, and then Rick Derringer also played guitar on Free Ride. So that's kind of cool. One I've been really wanting for a long time and finally picked up a really nice copy of it. The cover's kind of jacked up on the edge, but the record's just perfect. And that's the Cult Electric. I don't know if you like the Cult or not, but that...
I'm not a big Cult fan. I mean, I see that all the time.
This album it's usually expensive. I paid $18 for that. I mean, it's expensive.
In the infamous words of Dennis, this album rocks balls.
It does. It rocks balls. It's really good. Got a Crocus hardware.
I like Headhunter. I want that.
Got the little ripped off of KC-103, so I guess this was a
promo
album. So
that is that right there. The KC-103 is collectible in itself, man.
Probably, but I don't really actually know any of these songs on here. So this was a later Crocus. This was in 1981. So anyway, so I got that one. I've picked this up 15 times and I finally bought it. Alice Cooper's Flush the Fashion Clones. You know, not my favorite album, but I just had to break down.
Flush the Fashion, Zipper, Kitchen Skin. Right. And I can't remember the name of the other one. Dada.
Dada. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Those three albums, even though those are what he calls his lost era or whatever it is.
Look at his picture. I mean, it's just, he's just like skin and bones. I mean, that's his.
But I love all three of those albums, you know?
Right. I got, here you go, B-52 Party Mix. This is kind of a, it is cool, man. It's got Party Out of Bounds.
Alice Cooper and B-52s.
I love B-52s. And this is kind of an extended dance record, you know? So I got it for $8. It's a kind of a Party Mix Mini is what it's called.
Is there a shorter version of Love Shack? Because that'd be the best one.
No, there's not. Now this is a new copy of Rush Power Windows. I got that.
Oh,
that's on the 200 gram. They go big. But that's got some decent.
200
songs
gram.
On.
How thick is that?
It's 200 grams. It's thick.
it's like that thick, man.
It's real heavy. And
that's what she said.
And for the greatest thing ever, I've been looking for this set of albums for a long time. And like you, I went on and found one of those sites that had just people were selling stuff.
And it's the David Cassidy, Leif Garrett, Donny Osmond. No.
Sean Cassidy.
Oh, I said David Cassidy. I meant Sean Cassidy.
Frank Zappa, Joe's Garage, Acts 1, 2, and 3.
You know, oh, wow. It is three funny. Albums. It is funny because I have seen that Joe's Garage album pop up on Facebook like five times in the last 3 days. It's like, what the hell?
It's hard to find. I mean, and it's I paid $30 for the three albums, which that's pretty.
Oh, that's a good deal.
I mean, it is not a bad deal. I've got it on DVD. I've got it on CD. But I mean, the first record's worth just by itself is worth it. You know, you've got the Joe's Garage, Catholic Girls, Crew Slut, Wet T-Shirt Night. You know, there's some great songs on this thing. And it's a story. It's kind of a story to it. But I've been wanting this for a long time. Ron and I love that album. We'll sit around and turn it on and just laugh our balls.
It's almost morally high as Steel Panther.
Yeah. You know, Frank Zappa is one I've tried to get into.
I can't get into him.
Cannot. I have tried.
That's the only album that I can. I mean, you got like a 15-minute xylophone kind of. You got to be in the mood for it.
That's right.
Anyway, that's what I got this week. So cool. I kind of caught up for the weeks that I, because Ashley and them finally opened their store. I was able to go over there
cool.
Actually saw Brian Harris there. He was there shopping, and kind of nice to actually go in and see people. And you know, it was kind of nice for a change.
Did you wear your mask?
You know, I had it on me and I went in there and nobody else was. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to take a chance. You know, I've ate dirt when I was a kid. I'm good. So anyway, that's all I got.
Anyway. All right. Well, let's stop beating around the bush and let's talk to the bush.
I feel overdressed. I got a collar on my damn shirt. Oh, Dave's got a collar on. Thanks, man. Appreciate it, bro.
I'm with you.
All right. Now that we've talked about being overdressed.
Nobody's wearing masks.
That's because we're all quarantined in our homes.
Dennis wearing a mask.
Or our homes.
Yeah, an ugly mask.
All right. Anyway, we've got Dave Bush and Chuck Gee from the band 8-Ball. How are you fellas doing?
Doing great. Now, how about you?
Well, I finally went back to work about 2.5 weeks ago, I guess, and I'm still only going back to work part time, but I'm still getting paid full time, so I can't complain.
Oh,
I got to get that job.
Good.
I got to get that job.
No kidding.
When'd you go back to work, Dennis?
I went back.
Nobody
Friday.
Cares.
I went back Friday, and I'm hating every fucking minute of it.
Friday? I thought you went back today.
No, I went back on Friday actually.
Oh, I thought you went back Friday today too.
Well, I mean, I went in today, but yeah, I'm not liking it. It really 7 weeks off was nice. I was really used to my naps and everything else. I'm just not feeling it yet.
So this isn't your day job?
No. I'd be living in a cardboard box without internet if I did.
You're living in a van down by the river.
Exactly. Exactly.
Been there and done that years ago. Yeah, it's not fun. Yeah, it was fun. It was. At the time.
Exactly.
All right. Well, let's start this out. You guys talk a little bit about your band, how long you've been around, all of that good stuff.
Go ahead, Dave.
All right, Chuck. We were formed, 4 years ago? Is it 4 or 5? Time flies. It's about 4 years ago. And I was in a band prior to this, several bands prior to this, but last one I was in, we had some issues. We were together about 3 years, and we had some issues about the direction we were going. So I left that band and decided to try to find the right pieces for a band that I liked, and that a group of people that could get together and not fuss and fight and have attitudes. And luckily, believe it or not, Val Batts was the first one I found. I don't know if you know Val or not, but got with Val.
Now, wait a minute. You got Val, but you said no attitude. I'm kidding. I've known Val for, good Lord. How long have I known you, Chuck?
just don't take Val serious. That's it. He means well, and he's a good fit for us. We got some different personalities here, but it all works out. And, Like I say, started out with Val. Val brought in Chuck, and then Greg come along. We had a different drummer for a while, and then T came in about, it's getting close to a year ago, I guess, isn't it, Chuck? T came in, which is, he's been great. He's a young kid, but my gosh, he fits so well. We would have never thought, you know, when he wanted to audition for this band, we thought he's 20 years old, you know. We were surprised he liked the music that we play. So it's, he plays well and he loves it. So it's been great.
Now, wasn't his first show at Rockin' Pod last year?
With us, it sure was. And he had only been with us just weeks. Yeah.
Yeah, remember we auditioned him and we gave him a couple of songs. He showed up in both albums on his audition.
Wow. Oh, cool.
Yeah, great kid. Typical kid. He had his little iPad there and he comes in, you know, which song? Clicked around and next thing you know, oh yeah, I know that. Played it. He played that. Both albums the first practice. I mean, it was just an incredible drummer. Very proud to have him on our team now.
Cool.
So, speaking of your albums, when did you release your first and your second album, and what other titles?
Chuck, you want to answer that?
Well, the first album, the debut album came out, what, in 2017?
I think so. Mm-hmm.
And it was just titled 8-Ball. Got a lot of great songs on it. Staples on our sets. Then we went in 2018 and recorded the second album called Back to Rock and Roll. That was with our former drummer. But after that, we went in last year around November, wasn't it, Dave? And we started recording the third album.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot more effort and time was put into the last album. We spent a lot of days in the studio, a lot of mixdown time. So this one, you know, of course, you hope that each album you do a little better, hope the writing is better, and also the sound quality is better. So we hope we've done that in this album. We hope to have it out. We should have released in 2 weeks, I would say. It's in press right now. So.
Okay. Now, when you say 2 weeks, give an approximate date because episodes are a week.
Okay. I'm sorry. Let's see. Let me look at my calendar here. With the 18th, probably right after around June 1st, somewhere along there, June 2nd, the week of June the 1st, you should see the, it should be on, we should have it on Spotify, and we can buy it electronically or off our website.
All right. I'm going to give the audience, or I'm going to give those that watch our show on YouTube, a sneak peek of the album cover real quick.
All right.
Y'all see that?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
There, and if you see up there at the top, 8ballrocks.com is their website. The name of the album is Love Struck.
It's a cool cover.
It is. So is that basically how you do your distribution as far as just basically – you know, you can either buy it digital or through your website, or, and I guess you sell them when you have your gigs and stuff, you'll have them, I guess, for sale, merch table or something to go.
Yes, they're available at the gigs. Of course, they're available on our website along with other merchandise. We've got t-shirts and several other things there. You know, you can go there and check all that out. And then, of course, we've made a deal with, you know, City Baby and, whatnot. It'll be available on Spotify and some of the other electronic venues. So it shouldn't be that hard, difficult to find if, you know, however you want to purchase it.
You'll be getting it on vinyl too, or are we going to be pressing any vinyl? Or
not at this point. If we have a demand for it, you know, we're situated where we would do that if we saw a demand, but right now we're not. Gosh, it seems like everything's, you know, pretty much if you can't download it on your phone, it's, you know, most of the people we deal with.
Right.
But we would consider that if we had enough demand.
That's cool.
Yeah, vinyl would be cool. There's got to be a supply and demand, so yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, I don't know really right now. I don't know with that one record plant going down. I don't know what the situation is, how hard it is to get stuff pressed right now. You know, I don't know.
It's a big buy. I saw the K-Tail vinyls that you was.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm right there with you. That's
good. Exactly.
I love all of on that.
But we use Discmic as far as the CDs, and they've really done well. There's been a little lag time with all this Corona and stuff. We've had some trouble with the mix down and things like that. But Discmakers have been really well, been really good about getting this product, the final mastering and the artwork down. So they're good to work with.
So how long was it from, say, the beginning of, okay, hey, we're going to, you know, you decide you're going to write or you're going to make this album. What, how long did it take you as far as very beginning to end? I mean,
Chuck, you want to hit that? You want me to?
That's it. Either way, I don't mind.
You know, this band is, I have to say this, the prior band I was in, we were together. I said two or 3 years, maybe 3 years. And we were lucky to scrape together an 8-song CD. And this band, from day one, they, of course, T went with us, but they are riding machines. We get together and we can just, and you know, you may say, well, listen to the CD. Well, I think we got some decent songs, good songs, and we work well together. And we've basically put out an album about every year since we were together. You know, we've, this is our third album. We've been together about 4 years, so almost an album a year. So, we write every practice. We go in and we rehearse the songs, and then we take some time. Who's got an idea? And we've actually probably got, I say, half of another album done started. So
right. Like the recording that we did, that's our, we give it our best, 110% on everything we do. You know, we try not, there's no fillers. We try to, our, you know, again, it's not no, you know, mega star album, but we pull our heart and soul in everything we do. We go over and we go over it and try not to let anything, you know, get by us. We want to do the best we can what we're doing. So
do you guys use an outside producer or somebody, or do you just do it all yourselves?
If you notice, all three albums have been done at Sound Emporium. I don't know if you're familiar with that. That's a studio in Nashville that's been around forever. It's had a lot of hits come out of there. We used their engineers. The last one, Joe, and I, can you say his last name?
Nope.
Trevor Banzer, I don't know. But they have great engineers there. And this last album, Joe was relatively first time we'd worked with him. And he was just so into the music. And I would say he did the, along with us, he helped produce this record here. And he was a big support in what we did. He pushed us on this and made us try to reach a, like I say, a very higher quality recording this time. So we, hats off to Sound Emporium and especially Joe there. And Mike too, the head engineer, he's a really good, he helped do the bass, you know, the bass instruments and starting off, and then Joe finished out. But they are really good people to work with. If anybody's looking for a studio, we really love working there.
It was, and
of course, this maker does the final EQ on it, as far as the final mix down production of it. So okay. That's.
But it was the same studio you used for all three of them.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What was it? Is it a? I guess it's all digital system. You said it was an older one. I don't know if they were still using some analog or any tape or anything, or just was it all digital? I know everybody's went pretty well Pro Tools now and all that.
Yes. These kids now, that's what they all know what to use. Actually, they had a tape machine there, and I've actually got some tape from the old days, the big thick tape, and we threatened to try some of that, but we didn't. It would be interesting to see how it sounds now versus then. May awesome. Surprise you.
Yeah, the studio's pretty killer. I mean, Kenny Rogers recorded it there, Johnny Cash. I mean, just leather legends. The Pop Evil, they would. Album before this, so we did Pop Evil went in after us. They did their there too. It's a pretty cool place. You know, it's a, I call it hallowed ground. Yeah. So.
So is it put on, do you guys have your own label then that you're putting it out on? Is that what you're doing, or do you have a, yes. Are you, you okay. Yes. All right.
Yep. It's all self, I guess, produced, promoted, and all really? Of us.
Yeah. I think that's how it's done these days, isn't it? I mean, there aren't very many, you know, unless you're,
it is. I mean,
you know, especially the music you guys are doing, there isn't a lot of that new stuff running around there that you can just go pick up somewhere. You have to, it's all about legwork that you're willing to sit down and do, like talk to us and that kind of stuff, because it's not out there on the radio. We've had that discussion about every other time we're on here, but it's true. It's hard to get stuff out there.
It is. It seems the market's, I guess, controlled by certain, I guess, companies or I guess recording labels, whatever. And it's just, you know, nobody's interested really in us. So we said, well, we'll just do it ourselves. And it seems to be, like you said, thing right now everybody's doing is you can self-promote social media. There's an open door there, you know, just got to jump through it.
It's kind of like I said, same thing we've talked about a million times. It's, you know, the record companies used to coddle these new bands, you know, and help get you going. Now they wait till you get going. And then they want you. They don't want to talk to you.
They swoop in and take over.
Exactly. So it's sad that people have to do it that way. But I think too, you know, that when a band's starting out, that gives them their own the room to go the way that they want to. You know, instead of having a record company tell you this is what you're going to play, you this is the look you need. Well, no, I already got that.
Rick can't go along and say, you know, you're not like a 20. You're not relevant. You're too old because you're not 21 and nippable. You know, there's a market for anybody that's well over 20, 25, 30, 40. It doesn't matter. And, you know, you're out there, you beat the bushes with, and there's somebody that will just, it is what it is.
So what kind of effects has the pandemic had on your band?
Oh gosh. It's, you know, we had bookings for the summer, and it's all, everything's shut down now. So we're kind of glad to see some things starting to open up so we can try to rebook again. But, you know, it's really, you know, I don't know how quick this will come back. So we're hoping to get some bookings. You know, we're working on that right now. So, you know, I don't know. I think everybody's kind of at a loss right now is when, you know, live music will actually be able to, you know, to be played again. It's and how venues are going to be able to do it, you know, with this distancing and all this. We just have to see.
Yeah, this has stopped every band, you know, from Kiss on down to local bar band. This has frozen everybody, you know, from 100 miles an hour to zero. That's the way it out.
So if this wouldn't have happened, about how many shows you guys do a year like that? What's your, you know, on average?
Chuck, you want to cover that?
Looking at this year, our plans for this year was to potentially take this band to Europe. And were looking at that and some dates. And, you know, played some dates in Ohio last year and we did the Rockin' Podcast. But like I said, we're starting to put feelers out now and asking around and checking the, you know, with some clubs to see when they think they're going to open back up. And if we can get into those, you know, like everybody else, just start the wheels turning again.
That's cool.
Well, that was kind of leading into, I was going to follow up that question with your bookings that you were talking about. Are those going to be, are you going to try to do more of a tour or regional stuff? Or, I mean, obviously you just said that you're trying to get to Europe.
Right.
Well, we have talked with some agencies over there that were willing to do it. It's just, you know, the problem now is we had looked at trying to do something in the summer, but with what's happened, you know, that's pretty much come to a halt. We'd also had supposed to book a gig at Whiskey in California, but, you know, that put a stop on that. So we're just kind of, we're open for whatever, you know. Of course we still have day jobs, but we're all at the point where we can go wherever. We hope regional, you know, we'll play as much as we can regionally. And, you know, if we get the opportunity to go to California, wherever, you know, we're ready to go. It's just, you know, sometimes right now it's we're not for sure what's going to happen. We're just keeping our feelers out there and try to book what we can.
Well, I will interject. I would love to play the whiskey.
Yeah.
And a list of people that would love to play this.
Yeah. You know, find me.
So talk about the record. What are some of your favorite tracks on there? What do you, have you guys, are you going to release a single or have you released a single?
Go ahead, Chip.
Sure. So we're working on, we got some ideas for a couple of videos that we're looking at shooting. And we do have an idea for the single coming out, but like I said, we're waiting on the CD to get done, and then we'll start pushing. We know we shot a video for the last CD, and it did really well. And our game plan is, you know, CD videos are the way to go. It seems like, as far as, you know, keeping your name out there in circulation. So yeah, we are. We got a couple of the songs off the album. We want to put some videos to, for sure.
We're trying to sort through this. What happened is our intentions were to have done had a video ready. We had planned on releasing Party USA. That's a track on there that we had made plans on one of our gigs. It's you know, it's a party song and it requires people, and doing that with social distancing would be a problem. So we put an edge on that, axe on that. So we plan on doing that once we get the opportunity. But now we're just looking at, you know, it's really difficult to even do a video right now with the way things are. People, you know, it's hard to get, you know, you'd have to do it in such a limited capacity. So we're working on that. We're just... we should have some, we figure to have a video out of some sort here in the next, I'd say 3 weeks or so is the plan.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, it's like you said, right now it's just a shutdown of everything. So you're kind of at the hands of somebody else, you know, and exactly. Whatever you can get done, you know. So hopefully this won't last for, because like I said, this summer was going to be a great summer of music and fun. And I tell you what, everything that so far has been, you know, I know they're still canceling things, you know, as they go along a few months in advance. But I mean, I just don't see the summer happening at all. I just don't. I've got some tickets for some shows that haven't been canceled yet in July. I'm hoping they'll open, but I don't think they will. I really don't. I think that they won't be let that many people get together that quick, you know, so who knows.
Yeah, and that's our concern is, you know, the bars are trying to reopen too, but, you know, how can, you know, they're going to have limited, if they do it, I mean, I think they're supposed to, from my understanding, they're supposed to still follow the distance and rules, but I don't see how you can do it at a bar, but hopefully they can, and hopefully they can, you know, they'll want to bring bands in again. I'd say you'll be doing it for probably a third of the price.
It's funny you say that. I got a message from somebody yesterday or today or something about how much would you pay for a Live Nation? I mean, a live.
Pay for a beer at a concert? If
it, no.
That one? Oh.
No. How much would you pay for a live stream video, live stream concert? So you know, to watch one exclusively or whatever. I was like, I don't know. Yeah, I think there's value in it. I mean, yeah. I mean, I've watched a couple of live stream things, and you know, most of the time when I've seen them, they've got some kind of, you know, if you want to donate, you know, or you want to pay some money, here's our PayPal thing. Go, you know, go shoot us some PayPal money.
You know, for a national act, I would not put. Well, even for a local act, I wouldn't put that number at zero. But
no, I don't think it'll be zero.
I'm not paying $100 to watch a band live stream because one, they're not hauling their road crew around, you know, they're not hauling their light crew around, they're not renting an arena to do this, you know. Right. So we're talking maybe I might pay $20 to see a national act.
Plus, all the live streams are not that good sometimes, you know, too. The quality is not good.
Well, I think that if you're talking national acts,
it would be good.
They're going to have somebody that knows how to mix their sound, and they're going to have somebody that knows how to mix that sound into a camera, you know. True. So,
but my problem is
that's the difference between a national act and your local musician friend doing acoustic gig in his living room.
But the whole point is, too, though, if I'm going to see a national act, you know, 3/4 of the whole show and the excitement of doing it is being there with a bunch of my buddies and being in the crowd. You know, I never watch it, but I just watched for a minute to see what it was like. I watched on Fox, you know, they're doing a NASCAR race, and you see these cars go around there. There's nobody in the, there's no fans, no spectators. It's like you're watching practice, and I'm like going, you know, it just takes all the energy out of everything like that. So, you know, I would like to see a live stream of a band, but it's just not going to be the same. You know, I want to pay for that $15 beer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. The real question here is how much would you pay me and Chuck not to do our acoustic set? Yeah.
Now, there you go. no, I think that there's a market for that, but it's not going to be the thing. You know, I've watched enough of these live streams they've been doing, like I said, with Kevin Cronin, and I like seeing those things, those little acoustic things they've been doing. That's cool, but I don't want to watch a whole band for 2 hours, you know. I'll go buy their video, their DVD, you know, from their last big concert or something.
So you pay $20 for that.
There's something about
$20 to watch the live stream.
There's something about being packed into an arena, you know, like sardines, and that magic, that moment, and that, you know, that's what music is about. It's that camaraderie that's, you know, you're the person beside you may not know, but they know the lyrics to the same songs you do. I mean, all that. I mean, it's all part of the magic of it. Yeah. That's my thoughts about it. I mean, I've watched streaming videos, and they're good, you know what I mean? But it's just missing that element that you know, distance can't provide. You know, I like
Yeah, interesting. It definitely you can see some of those guys that are doing live streaming. That I watched one the other day. I was extremely impressed. I was like, I had no idea. I didn't know the guy. Somebody had invited me, and I watched it. The guy has a great voice. He's the bass player for YNT, and I can't think of his name to save my life at the moment. But phenomenal. I mean, I was amazed. And then I've watched a couple other ones, and I'm like, somebody needs to love them enough to say
no.
Unplugged has more meanings than just an acoustic set. it is cool to be able to see people. I do like the ability to see people in a different venue, different light, different type of way to communicate that way, because you're right. You know, being in an arena is a cool thing. And I don't know how many times I've been to an arena and went with somebody and didn't speak to them from the time the show started till after it ended. You know, that you don't talk, you just rock out, and then it's over. And it's like, what'd you think? <It's>
like, <yeah. laughs> I think there's no comparison. I mean, as a spectator, I mean, just the sound and then the energy flowing off the stage, you can't get that off of a camera, off of a TV set, whatever. And as a performer, there's not going to be that energy from the band as when you're looking out onto a crowd that's into what you're doing. You're going to perform so much better. And then, like I say, just the energy of the crowd, the flowing from the band, and this just the live sound. There's just no comparison. Live anyway. Gotta be live.
Tyson Leslie, we've had him on the show before, and he had posted on Facebook one day last week about, you know, it was kind of, I think the word he might have used was disheartening, because, you know, he's been doing those live stream shows, and without crowd reaction, you can't read the crowd because you can't see the crowd, you know, so am I bombing here? Am I doing fine? How's, you know?
Exactly. And you feed off of that. I mean,
tough on both ends.
Yeah. When they're reacting to you, you look out there and you see their faces. I mean, it just pulls more out of you. So there's just no way to replace that feeling.
And it also tells you, you know, maybe I shouldn't be doing these songs. Maybe I should be doing these songs instead.
That's true.
Read the crowd wrong.
Well, like I said, no, I've been listening to your new record, and there's some good tunes on there. I do. It's pretty good. Like that harder.
So are there? Yeah. So are there some highlights that you guys want to talk about from the new record, or are there certain things that certain songs that you really like? This is, you know, when I wrote this or when we wrote this, this was what we really thought would be a great tune and why or anything like that.
Chuck, you want to talk?
Well, I've listened, you know, I'm a little biased, but this album, I mean, it's like I said before, this is a windows down stereo cranked up album to me. I can go out on the country road, roll the windows down, Bluetooth, it's the car stereo speaker. And to me, and every time I listen to it, I get it as a different favorite song. I mean, Harder, Faster is killer. I Ain't Seen Nothing Yet. I mean, I like that one. Chasing Your Dreams, that's another great. I think there's a lot of good stuff on it. You know, we go from one extreme. There's hard rockers on it, and there's a couple ballads on there too, you know. And I like it. I can't just say this is my favorite one, because tomorrow it will change.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, of course, you know, when you give birth to something, you don't see the ugliness in it, I guess. It's all good to you. But, you know, we write by inspiration, I think. We don't try to necessarily just, okay, we're going to write a song, let's make up. I think all the songs have some meaning or heart to it. There's a song in there called Opie, which is, of course, is dedicated to the opioid problem we have today. And if you listen to that, it's pretty deep, because the band all has people that have been greatly affected by that. And we, you know, there's a lot of heart and soul in that song. And, you know, even to the faster songs, we love to ride motorcycles and have a good time. And part of USA, I mean, we have a good time, and it's all, you know, it's like I say, all the songs come with a meaning behind it, and we got heart in them, in all of them.
We don't write for an exercise, you know. I mean, I think these songs they do say something. So
that's cool. Do you have, like, when you did it, was all written before you went into the studio, where you just went in and said, okay, here's our songs we got, or was there some that while you were recording an idea popped up and then it came from the recording sessions? You know what I'm saying? Or
we took a week, you know, we had our bases of all the songs down, but when we packed them, we'd go back and listen to them. Part of USA, you know, when Dave sings about the ball dropping in New York City, we thought, hey, it sounds great to put the crowd in behind going countdown. You know, that was a spur of the moment in the studio idea. And it did it, and it sounded, we left it. You know, that stuff, those little stuff like that, you know, we'd go back and listen to them and talk around, but some of those ideas popped up in the studio like that on that one. So the motorcycle on Harder, Faster, you know, it is about riding a motorcycle, and it needed motorcycle sounds in it. So Joe really, he dropped those in on them in the perfect places. And
but for the most part, did you get that Evel Knievel wind up thing?
A good idea for video.
I got my brand new right back here on the app. I just got it in the mail 2 days ago. I got my new.
I had
cool. Go to borrow that.
Yeah, if you had that when you're a kid, raise your hand.
I didn't. That's why I bought mine. I bought one. I didn't have one.
I'll say it's Snake River Canyon cycle.
Yeah, there you go.
Exactly. Well, it's, like I said, we enjoy listening to it and everything. It'll be out here in 2 weeks, in two, three weeks.
Yeah. And the first week of June, you should see it on the side, and be able to get it electronically somewhere along there. And, like I say, it's, thank goodness there should be no more delays from this epidemic. Yeah. I think we're past all of that. So that's what they're telling us. So, matter of fact, as soon as we'll be sending y'all guys some some discs out. So y'all, Chuck, get your addresses and we'll get all those to you. And like I say, we're looking forward to getting it out and hitting, getting the plan again. It's been a while for us as well. It's ready to go. I think we're even looking at anything. If right now, if it's even charity or whatever, we're ready to play. We're ready to rock.
Right on. Well, cool. Before we get out of here, pimp your website and social media.
Well, you can find us at 8ballrocks.com. That's where our main website is. And 8ballrocks, you can find us on Facebook. You can look up 8ballrocks. We're all over Spotify, iTunes, and CD Baby, and like all the digital outlets like that also. So, we're out there.
Yeah. Let us plug too. You know, I don't, maybe it's maybe mentioned this, but you know, we're a live show band. I mean, we're a high energy band, and we travel. We've got the full setup. We can bring full PA. We got the full light show. We got the full stage gear. So, you know, anyone's looking for a complete act, we're not going to come in and ask for a PA. We can bring it all. So, we've got the touring equipment. So, we're ready to go. Ready to rock.
Cool.
All right. Well, thanks for being on the show. People, visit us on 80sofrock.com. Check out our socials and past episodes and all that good stuff. And until next time, peace out.
Thanks for listening to the Ages of Rock podcast. If you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, and most importantly, tell all your friends. Remember, you're never too old to rock. Until the next episode, peace out, folks.